For this time that we have to worship you. We thank you for all that you've given us, Lord. We really do, Lord. God, we choose to draw near this morning. We choose to worship you in spirit and in truth. We choose to thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your word. God, I just can't thank you enough that you've given us your word. Lord, your word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, your word is truth. God, thank you for your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come and you guide us and you teach us. Lord, I just thank you for everything that you're doing. I ask you to bless your people this morning. I ask you to touch your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Everybody got their Bibles this morning? Well, I hope so. Thank you, sir. That'll work. Actually, we're going to go to here. Yeah. I kind of doubt that. and let this connect. I guess it's just not wanting to pick it up. All right. Well, everybody, I hope you have your Bibles this morning. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 60, first of all. I guess I ought to turn there as well. There's so many things going on in the world right now. And, of course, since we were here last Sunday, there's been a new development in the world. Everyone should know by now, unless you've been living in a cave, that Ebola has come to the United States. And the way that it's being handled is unbelievable, unless you know the whole story. But before we get on any depth of anything negative, I mean, I was listening a little bit. Thursday night after Bible study, we left GTR, and John called me on the phone. He said, you might want to tune into this and listen. And I just caught the end of Michael Savage Nation. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a very popular talk show host, but he comes on at an odd time. A lot of people not listening to the radio at that time. But anyway, he was talking about just how the bad news just keeps coming in waves. You know, there's so much bad news that it's almost overwhelming. And he talked about how he's warned and warned and warned and warned about things for years, and everything he's warned and warned and warned about for years is happening to our world right now. And I think that can happen to us. It can be almost overwhelming because the bad news just keeps rolling in. Of course, to our church, we shouldn't be surprised. We should be prepared. We should know what's coming. Y'all don't try to read all this up here. I know it's tempting, but let's do this here and get off that nonsense for a minute, because we're going to get to, I just want to show you too, this is another reason I brought this up. I'm going to show you in a minute. I'm having some interesting activity on our web pages and Facebook pages, just to show you this as we get into this, because there's a reason I'm showing you this, because I want you to know that our little church here is making an impact. I'm going to click on just the diagnostics. Actually, it's this one. On reach here. People reached in the last 28 days. That's just the United States, 13,374. In just the last 28 days is what this shows. It goes down the list here of the countries: United Kingdom, Philippines, Canada, Australia. Isn't it interesting, 130 people reached in Pakistan, South Africa, 92, India, 84, Ireland, 46, Indonesia, 46. Indonesia, Pakistan, primarily Muslim countries. I want you to notice this one right here, because I'm going to get to this in a minute. Elberton, Georgia, 166 visits since last week. Now, that's very significant. I'm going to talk about that in just a second, but I wanted you to notice that. But I just wanted you to see Indonesia. We got Kenya. Let's just keep scrolling down here. Mexico, 42 visits. Germany, 41. Puerto Rico. Look at this one. United Arab Emirates, 27 visits in just the last few days. Now, this is telling you 28 days, but I know because I checked it a week ago, I know what's new as well. United Arab Emirates, New Zealand, Italy, 26. I guess the Popopotamus is checking us out. Israel is 26. Malaysia, another primarily Muslim country, 26. Dominican Republic, Nigeria, 20. Brazil, Ghana, Romania. Saudi Arabia, 16. Netherlands, Singapore, Austria, Spain, Belgium, Ecuador, France, Hong Kong, Poland, Finland, Zambia, Uganda, Colombia, Zimbabwe, Greece, Guatemala, Malta, Hungary, South Korea, Switzerland, Kuwait, Japan, Serbia. And for some reason, these are registering. They shouldn't even be registering if it wasn't, so I don't know what they're doing there. But anyway, I just wanted you to see, this is just on this one Facebook page. This doesn't count Fire and Grace Facebook page. This doesn't count my personal Facebook page. This doesn't count our websites either. So we're talking about this in between iTunes, podcast, YouTube, everything. We're talking about just in the last month reaching about 20,000 people. Pretty amazing stuff, and that's just what we can record. That doesn't tell you people that were reached with something that shared something out of their mouth. So I want you to be encouraged, because I believe we are going to see some good things happen in the midst of all of the bad news that's coming. And that's why I wanted you to turn to Isaiah 60 before we get into anything that's too negative this morning. I want you to see what I believe and let you know that I'm not just a pessimist. I believe that God is going to do great things in the midst of this darkness. Now, a few weeks back, I shared this passage of scripture in Wednesday night prayer, but everyone wasn't there. But I believe that it's a prophetic word, and it's a very clear word for us, not only for Fire and Grace Church and those who listen in, but I believe for the true church at large, the true church that's scattered all over the world, that loves Jesus, believes he is God in the flesh, believes he is the only true Messiah, the only way to heaven, believes the Bible is the Word of God. The true church that's trying to be disciples, that's trying to live for Jesus, that's really genuine, I believe this is a word for the church, a prophetic word. Now, God gave me this passage, these few verses, Isaiah 61-5. He spoke these to me. He hit me with his presence about this on January 15, 1989, and he said, "This is a word for you that I want you to always remember, always believe, but it's not in that for now." Okay? So, we're talking about 1989. Right? Long time ago. And here's what it is. Let's just read it. Because I believe it's for now. He says this, verse 1, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles," and this term Gentiles means those outside the covenant, those unsaved, he says, "and the Gentiles shall come to your light," to the light of God that's within you that you let shine. He says, "the unsaved will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Kings, even leaders. He said, "lift up your eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side." Then, meaning after this, "you shall see and flow together, your heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces or the resources of the Gentiles shall come unto thee." Now, I know that this passage here is an end times passage, because he's talking about the time period when gross darkness will come upon the world. Now, we know from the Bible, we know that the Bible said, Jesus said, in the last days, when the great tribulation comes, he said, it will be a time that's worse than any other time in the history of mankind. Satan and his powers, the trouble, the things that we're seeing breaking out across the world now, we have this Ebola plague. We have these things, this horrible darkness beginning to cover the earth. But God said this to his people, and I want you to listen to me clearly. He said, "for you to arise and let your light shine." Does that sound familiar? I think I remember Jesus saying that, right? In Matthew chapter 5, in his Sermon on the Mount, he said, what? "Let your light shine." Now, what is that light? The light of God is the truth of God. The Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth that's in you, the Spirit of Jesus Christ that's in you, the truth of the Word of God you have in you, he says, arise. Don't be beaten down. Don't let yourself be discouraged. Don't let yourself be defeated. Don't let yourself fall into the fear that paralyzes you. He said, arise and shine. See, God, you know, a lot of people, there are a lot of people out there, you know, patriots and preppers and all these other people. I don't have a problem with being prepared for something. But God never called his people to run and hide. God didn't call us to run off into the wilderness somewhere and hide. He didn't call us to find a cave somewhere and disappear. No, the world needs us. The world, and the worse it gets and the darker it gets and the more trouble that comes and the more fearful things that come upon the world, they're going to need people who have the light of God, the truth of the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is something else I want to tell you. Listen, do not fear Ebola. Because I'm going to tell you, I want you to understand something. I don't care if even one of us contract it. God is the same healer that he's always been. And I want to tell you, I don't care if somebody dies around us from it, we can raise them from the dead. This is what I want to get into you this morning. The glory of God is upon us to demonstrate and to witness to the world the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We, as a Pentecostal church, better be believing in the healing power of Jesus, even in the power to raise the dead, even in the power to heal someone from any manner of sickness or disease. See, we as Pentecostals, and I believe the whole church should be this way, we as Pentecostals, though, say we believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, right? Well, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as miraculous a miracle as it is for salvation, for you to be washed of your sins, your heart to be cleansed, the curse of the law broken off of you, every sin and unclean thing you've ever done to be washed away, and your dead spirit to be raised to life by the Holy Spirit. Yes, that is a miracle. But God is the same God. Jesus said by, and the Word of God says, by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Jesus said in John 14:12, the works that I do, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. You know, part of the word God gave me in December of 2013, when he gave me the word unprecedented for 2014, he told me unprecedented events would happen in every realm, environment, in government, economy, everything, warfare, terrorism, and then he just told me in every realm. But he said also within the church, that many of us, some of us would turn many to righteousness, that some of us would even raise the dead. See, God has said here in Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for your light has come. See, I believe that the time has come for the church, the true church, to quit being afraid, to quit being ashamed, to quit being weak, to quit lacking in faith, to quit doubting, to quit being in fear, and to let our light shine brighter and brighter and brighter. Amen? The righteous, the Bible says, and this is Proverbs 28, I believe it's verse 1. Y'all check me on that. But it says, the righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursues. Listen. Listen to me. The righteous, those washed in the blood of Jesus, those who've repented of their sins, those who are being disciples of Jesus Christ and believing the Word of God and trying to obey the Word of God and being filled with the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit, we are to flee from nothing. Amen? I am not afraid of Ebola. I am not afraid of the government. I am not afraid of my enemies. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You hear what I'm saying? Get it in your mind.
that you are going to let your light shine and souls are going to be saved through your life, your witness, your preaching, your testimony, that bodies are going to be healed of incurable diseases through your hands and your prayers, that you're going to raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons, that you're going to do these things in these last days because you're going to let your light shine as gross darkness covers the earth. We're being set up by God for this last hour. That's why I don't, one other reason I do not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Why would God prepare his church to be a light to the world and take them out at the darkest hour of history? That is just ignorant. No, he's not taking us out of here. Even Jesus said, pray this prayer. I mean, I love this. In John 17, he said, I pray not, Father, that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from evil. Is there going to be a rapture? Yes. There's a bunch of nuts out there that are saying there's not even going to be a rapture. But not until the end, not until Jesus comes back. There isn't two more coming backs. There's one more. I don't know about you. Something's wrong with the Christian that wants to get out of here and let everybody else suffer. There's something wrong with the Christian that says, I don't want to go through anything difficult. I want to get out of here. And you know what? That's going to be the time your lost family, your lost neighbors, the people you work with, the people's lives that are falling apart and the darkness is covering their lives, that's the time they're going to need you the most. And you want to, oh, we're getting out of here. No, you're not. I hate to tell you. You're not. Whole lot of people's Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian pre-tribulation rapture world out there is going to be, they're going to take a lot of time before they snap out of the shock that they're still here. He said, gross darkness. Let's just read it again. Because I want you to be encouraged this morning. We're not called to go out of here weak and defeated and in fear and living in a cave. We're called to be bold as a lion. And yes, if that costs us our lives, so be it. Because let me just tell you this. For every drop of blood that a martyr spills on the ground, the church only grows stronger. You hear what I'm saying? Can't be defeated. Hear what I'm saying. The church of Jesus Christ, the true church, not the Roman Catholic church, not the Presbyterian church, not the Baptist church, not the Methodist church, the true born-again disciples of Jesus, the true church of Jesus that believes in his book and is walking with him in a real relationship, that church will never be stamped out by the devil. Jesus said at the gates of hell, I will build my church, he said, and the gate of hell will not prevail. He will never completely defeat us. He will never completely wipe us out. He will never succeed. I don't care if they take airplanes and fly and spray Ebola all over us. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That's one of the signs of true believers. The problem is, folks, a lot of people that claim to be Christians are not Christians. They are not born again, or they're not living the life. They're not living for God and pursuing God and believing the truth. Listen, God is not obligated to be a shield, a fortress, a refuge, a healer, a deliverer to anybody who's not walking in covenant with him. He is not obligated. But for you and for me and for those who truly walk with the Lord, we have some promises. Amen? We have some promises of the light of God and the glory of God and the presence of God and the protection and the deliverance of God and the fact that we will bear fruit even in the darkest hour of history. Somebody say this with me. I will bear fruit in the darkest hour of history. Amen. For some of us, it's going to be the most fruitful time of ministry we've ever seen in our lives, personally, and in our church. I'm telling you. I'm not painting a picture that it's all going to be rosy. Economy's still going to crash. People are going to get sick and die. The government's going to collapse. The UN's going to take over. But there is some limits to what the devil can do. God is not going to allow him to wipe us all out. So hear me. Be one of those who's made up your mind that I'm going to arise. I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to fill myself with the Word of God and the truth of God. I'm going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get anointed by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to believe that I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I'm going to believe that in the name of Jesus, I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I can cast out demons. I can raise the dead. I can cause the blind to see and the deaf to hear. There will be, mark my words, a great witness to the world that Jesus is the same Jesus of the Bible. There will be believers rise up and do these things. You can be one of them, or you can choose not to be one of them. Amen? That's why he says this. Look, verse 1. Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Meaning it will be evident that you are walking in the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to have a church that goes out in these last days that operates in the true power of the Holy Spirit, that has the truth, not trying to find jewels in the carpet and glory dust and gold dust on their skin a little bit. The days of this foolishness are going to be exposed because it's just messed up. I don't want to hear about your angel that, you know, they used to name it this old drug named angel dust. It wasn't good. I don't want to hear about your angel dust, gold dust. I don't want to hear about you finding jewels in the carpet. I want to hear about the lost getting saved. The blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the dead being raised. I want to hear the truth coming out of your mouth, not a bunch of gobbledygook. Amen? I love what he says. Arise. And then he says this. Look at verse 3. And the Gentiles, or the unsaved, those outside the covenant of God, shall come your light. I love how God does this. Where does the light come from? Or once he gives it to you, what does he call it after that? Your light. Why is that? Calvinists hate this. They hate it because their idea, their theology, God does everything, we do nothing. No, last time I checked, we are co-laborers with him. We are joint heirs. Amen. Who created the earth? God. So who does it belong to? But then he takes Adam and says, I give you dominion over the earth, the fish, the sea. I give it to you, sure. See how God works? He wants us to have partnership in this thing. A lot of stuff he's not going to do until we get up off our butts and do something. I love what this guy said years ago, and I've never forgotten it. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is for public ministry, not for private life. You want the anointing of God to be stirred up and flow up out of you? Step out and do something out of your comfort zone. Step up and witness to somebody you know they're going to get mad at you. Step up and say something, say the truth when you know it's going to offend people. Step up and lay hands on the sick when you see an impossible situation. Get ready to raise the dead. Get ready to pray for someone with Ebola. Jesus touched the lepers, folks. You hear me? It's all right, babe. Your full freedom and deliverance from germophobia will come. Listen, faith. I want you to be encouraged. I know, you know, I'm not going to say when I look at things like, you know, a level 4 or level 5, whatever it is, biohazard virus, and the government's lying to us. They say it's not air transmissible or airborne, but it is. You got to make up your mind. Are you going to be in fear? Are you going to trust God to protect you? You hear me? We got 2 nurses in here. Before this thing is over, y'all will probably see it. You'll probably encounter it. You trust God. You pray over yourself, and you trust God. Amen. And I don't care if they ever one day hand you a test and say, you have it. In Jesus' name, it will go. You hear me? This is where we have to be. We have to be believing God for everything, for provision, for healing. Listen, at times, I'm not going to lie, at times when I start just thinking in the natural on all the bad news and all the problems in the world and all the things that I need to do and that I want to do to try to be ready for all this stuff, I start feeling overwhelmed. But then I always remind myself, this is how I get out of it. I will do the best I can do, and my God will do what I cannot do. And that's trust. I'll do my best, Lord, to do my part. The rest is in your hands. And when I say trust, I mean that's when you truly choose to rest that he will take care of you. You hear me? Believe that. Let it sink down in you. I think about the pastor, you know. I shared this, I think, weeks back, months ago. And I think he was in Syria. I can't remember. It may have been in Syria or it's been a while now. But I remember this Christian pastor. He was either in Syria or Iran or Iraq, one of those places. And the ISIS or what, one of those groups got him and were getting ready to hang him. I mean, they had the little cranes and they had the rope hung up, everything else. And they're standing him up there. Oh, and they did hang him. They killed him. And the whole time he was standing there, he was smiling. Now, don't you know it's got to freak those Muslim boys out? That man's smiling. Is that a defeated man that they just killed? No. You know why? He's full of life. He's full of peace. He knows the Creator. He's standing for Jesus. He wouldn't deny Jesus Christ in the face of death. And he's got a smile on his face. You see? And we get bent out of shape about Ebola. You know, I've told y'all. God's spoken to me. I've seen the glory of God over my house. I've seen the hand of God in vision slap down the predator drone. There is nothing that our God cannot do to protect us and provide for us and to heal us and to deliver. Nothing. They could put a bullet in me. I could walk out the door right here, and they could put a sniper round through my heart. And you guys could gather around me and pray for me and raise me right back up from the dead. It happened to Paul. He got stoned. And back then, they didn't leave you alive when they stoned you. No, they finished the job. And if you weren't dead, somebody picked up a big rock and brought it over and smashed your head with it. And it says when they stoned Paul and drug him out of the city, the disciples gathered round about him, and he got up. That doesn't tell us what happened, but I tell you what I believe. He rose from the dead, and that may have been the moment where Paul said, I knew a man 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. One caught up to the third heaven. They heard unspeakable words. But it wasn't Paul's time to go. They thought they got rid of it. No, but there was enough. There was a church that believed that not even death was the final. Oh, come on now. Death is not even the final. It's not the period on the Senate. Guess what? If you die, if I die, it's still better. Somebody with faith might lay hands on us and say, rise up, live in the name of Jesus. And then they got to contend with another problem. Now we're back with a whole new witness, with a whole new testimony. You know, I've never prayed for a person, an adult person that was there. I guess God's taking me baby steps. But I have prayed for women three times. Babies in the womb, 6 months pregnant. Doctor says, they're dead. We got to take them out. One, even the doctor said, had begun to decay and fall into pieces. Prayed in Jesus' name. Arise. I remember saying those words. Arise. Live. Some of them, the doctors refused to even do another ultrasound, but went and paid for it themselves. And the baby was alive and born. And are teenagers now. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Let that sink down in you. Amen? You say, well, I prayed for people and they didn't get healed. Well, so what? Keep praying. Somebody will. You say, well, I've never raised the dead. Have you ever prayed for a dead person? Maybe if you did, it might happen. This is what I'm talking about. Arising means get up and do something. Get up and do something you have never done for God before. Right? I love that. I remember David Hogan talking about that. People talk about the 300 or 400 people that our ministry seen raised from the dead. He said, but we prayed for thousands. You see, you step out in faith. You obey in faith. The results are God's dealing, but you step out and do it. It's just like witnessing. See, we try to complicate everything, but it all works the same way. It all works by faith. You step out believing when you lay your hands on a sick person, they're going to get healed. Now, whether they get healed or not, that's not your problem. You step out there and you take you take your faith and you be bold and you pray in Jesus' name believing they're going to be healed. The rest is up to God and them. But isn't that the way we do with witnessing? We're told to share our faith. Every time, do you know that every time you share Jesus Christ and how Jesus saved you or something Jesus done in your life or you preach the gospel to somebody, this is an act of faith. It's an act of obedience and it's an act of faith. You don't know what the end result's going to be. Some of them are going to get saved and some of them aren't going to get saved. The results are not your problem. The obedience and the faith to step out and do it, that's what you're supposed to do, and that's what letting your light shine is all about. So much has been kept back from us because we don't step out and use what he says we have because we're afraid of failure or we're afraid of rejection or we're afraid of offending somebody.
Quit being afraid. Quit being ashamed. Quit being worried. The fear of failure will keep you from trying anything. Listen, I've had dreams since 2008. I can go all the way back to 2008. And I've had several dreams since then about raising someone from the dead. One was an 8-year-old girl, I remember. I remember the dream was vivid. 8-year-old girl, she'd been in a car accident. I remember that in this dream. They already had her covered up with the sheet. I remember the dream was, it was crystal. It was like watching a movie. They're covered up with a sheet. Parents are crying, freaking out. People I've never seen before. I still hadn't seen them to this day. And I walked over to that sheet. And I pulled the sheet back. Saw the face of that little girl. And laid my hands on her and said, "Live in Jesus' name." And I saw her eyes pop up. There's nothing impossible to those who believe. Amen. Ebola, the Antichrist, the rogue government, other diseases, all this other mess that's going on in the world, evil people. Goodness, what I'm trying to tell you is even if it gets us, that's not the final say. Even if they get through, even if something gets through, it's not the final say. I guess they thought that Lazarus, that was it, huh? Lord, if you'd been here, you see, this is what we do. They had asked Jesus, come and heal. The one you love is sick. This is how they said it. The one you love is sick. You know, Lazarus and Mary and Martha, they were Jesus' best friends. I mean, he loved them. I mean, they were people he just liked to hang out with. He would just, when he'd take some time off, he'd go spend his time with them. I mean, they were friends. And they sent for him, and they said, Jesus, whom you love is sick. And you know what Jesus did? He waits 2 more days. Sometimes Jesus waits and lets the situation get worse. Well, you know why? To test our attitudes. So Jesus wakes and finally he says, let's go wake Lazarus out of sleep. Disciples had no idea what he's talking about. They're like, sleep? If he's sleeping, he will get better. Sleep's good for you when you sit. Right? They're thinking in the natural realm. And Jesus goes, no, he's dead. But let's go. They're like, confused. And I'm sitting here going, why are you boys confused? Because this was the end of Jesus' ministry. He'd already raised 2 people from the dead that we know of. Why are y'all confused about this? So they get there. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. See, we limit ourselves. If you'd have been here, you could have prayed for him, and he would have been sick. He would have been healed, but now he's dead. It's over. You blew it, Jesus. You missed it. Why didn't you come? See, that's where the limit where their faith was. And they keep on with this, even though Jesus said, don't you know that your brother will live again? Don't you know I am the resurrection and the life? Don't you know who I am? Well, I know he'll live again at the resurrection, they said. See? And what's Jesus the whole time trying to get? Believe it now. Believe who I am, what I can do. Believe it now. For this situation. Roll back the stone. But Lord, by this time, he stinks. His body has begun to decay. He's been dead 4 days. Because even death is not the final word on the matter. Not when Jesus is involved. Not when true believers are involved. And you sit back and you say, oh, but that was Jesus. No, well, it continued on. Didn't Peter go raise somebody from the dead? Didn't Paul raise somebody from the dead? Yeah. I told people, if I go what appears to be prematurely, you better be believing and raising me up from the dead if I'm not finished with my work. I love what Smith Wigglesworth, his wife, you know, he raised 22 people from the dead. Smith Wigglesworth, late
1800s to his ministry, 1940s. He passed away in 1947. Documented, recorded. He raised 22 to 23 people, something like that, from the dead. One of them was his own wife, Polly. She died. He got wind of it. Oh, no. He went in front of everybody, laid hands on her, prayed, told her to get up. She came back to life. She'd been dead a while. He said, no, Smith. It's my time. It's okay. Let me go. She lay back down and went back to the Lord. He said one time he went to pray for this person who was dead, laying in the bed dead, doctors declared dead. He goes over and picks them up out of the bed, stands them up against the wall, and says, live. And they drop down to the ground. Dead body. Pick them back up, live. 3, 4, 5 times of that, it finally came back to life. That's faith. That's why they call him the apostle of faith. Powerful man of God. 1940s, they laid people in the streets in San Francisco. And if Smith Wigglesworth walked by, the power of Jesus healed anyone his shadow touched. Documented. It was in the newspaper. Somebody asked Smith Wigglesworth, said, how long do you pray when you pray? He said, I never pray longer than 30 minutes. I went, what? He said, but I don't go 30 minutes without praying. He said, what do you read? Nothing but the Bible. They said everywhere you saw him, he had his Bible and he was reading it. He was a man that said, my body doesn't tell me how it feels, I tell it how it feels. They would bring people to his meetings dying of cancer. But there was no treatments back then. Cancer, big tumors in their body. God told him to punch one woman. I mean, she was at death's door. They had to have two people hold her. He punched her right where the tumor was. She fell on the floor. They panicked. The doctor and the other guy that was helping him, they thought he killed her. She fell on the floor, looked like she was dead. They started yelling and screaming at him. You done killed her, you big idiot. Next thing you know, she comes to, stands up, completely healed, and this big tumor's laying out there on the stage floor. And he looked at them. He said, don't ever try to tell me again about my business. I know my business. That's a man that believed in Jesus and his power and walks with him very closely. But the same Smith Wigglesworth, going just about healing, he'd be riding a train, in a train car full of people traveling somewhere. And the Holy Spirit would tell him, stand up in here and preach the gospel to everyone in here. And he would do it. He would stand up and he would preach to everyone in the train. Long before he had a healing ministry, he just went out on the street, he worked with the Salvation Army, and he led people to Jesus. He was a faithful man. Sometimes he would come home from, you know, he lived in England. Sometimes he would come home from a big crusade in America or some big healing crusade in somewhere in England, and he would come home, and he was a plumber, and he would just say, I'm going to go work today. And he would go back and do some of his plumbing work. I mean, he was not a prideful man. He wasn't an arrogant man, but he was a bold man. He was a man full of faith. He was a man that knew and had a relationship with Jesus, and the power of God worked through him. We can have that. I believe God's going to let some of us do that never even paid the price that Smith Wigglesworth paid to have it. Just so he can have, so Jesus can have his end time witness. But see, here's the difference in us and what some of the other ones believe. See, you got your whole dominion theology, kingdom now. You got your charismatic Pentecostal movement that's so deceived and watered down and operating in the false demonic manifestations, and they calling it the Holy Ghost. And you got all that out there with their ideas that through supernatural power, they're going to take over the government and the arts and the finance, and they're going to create a utopia and a kingdom for Jesus to come back to. No, we don't believe that.
my Bible says things are going to get worse and worse and worse, darker and darker and darker. That there will be a remnant church. There will be a true church that will take a stand, and the light and glory of God will shine through them. And it'll look like it'll get to the point almost where all hope is lost. And Jesus will return. Now listen, let me share this with you. I'm going to close on this. The reason I wanted to show you this little thing up here is because things are getting crazy. Let me back up here a little bit. I just happened to be looking last night. I hadn't even looked at it in several days, probably since the radio night, since Tuesday night. So I pulled it up. And you know what's amazing is I haven't on, at the Bible study Thursday night, I talked about the Georgia Guidestones, and I talked about the Ebola, and I talked about the, I talked about it in a private Bible study. It was not recorded. It was not broadcasted or anything. So I've never put anything on Facebook or the internet or anything about the Georgia Guidestones, even though I know about them and have known about them since like 2008, okay? But I've never talked about them. Well, when I saw this, Elberton, Georgia just happens to be where the Georgia Guidestones are, and I've never had any hit in all these years from Elberton, Georgia. Now, Elberton, Georgia, the population of Elberton, Georgia is 4,200 people. And I got 166 visits in less than a week. I thought, what on earth is going on? Now, for those of you who don't know what the Georgia Guidestones are, let me explain what they are. They're a mysterious monument that was put up in 1980 on March 22nd, 322, which I find interesting, March 22nd of 1980, by a mysterious man who used a fake name, a pseudonym, R.C. Christian, and he paid a lot of money to have this. And what this is, and I'll just show you real quick. We'll go right here. What this is, let's see, let's look at, here's a picture of this monument. Maybe it'll come up here in a second. There we go. It's huge. It's about 20 feet tall. It's cut out of solid granite. What? Oh, no, yeah, that's just flowers there. No, it's not that tall. It's not that big. 20 feet, 19 feet and a half, something like that, at its peak there. But these four of these, that one goes this way, that way. Anyway, it's written on it in eight languages, and English, I think English, Spanish, Chinese, Arabic, I can't remember. And then it's got Egyptian hieroglyphics. It's got Babylonian cuneiform on it. But it's got the Ten Commandments of the New World Order. Yes. All right. And so one of the reasons I haven't talked about this is just there's just so much other stuff going on. But there's something interesting that's happened just this month. This, the Ten Commandments, and let me just back out of this here and I'll show you. I'll just go here. Let's see. All right, the Ten Commandments of the Georgia Guidestones are this. Now, it's been pretty, but let's just read the first one. Maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Okay, now, let's understand there's 7 billion people on the planet. So that means we get rid of 6.5 billion people or somehow to get to this number, 500 million, and maintain it. That means they'll have say in how many children or who lives and who dies. Isn't that interesting? Pretty morbid when you really think about it, right? Which is why number two is guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Number three, unite humanity with a living new language. I don't know exactly what they mean by that. Rule, passion, faith, tradition, all things must be tempered with reason. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Now, when it says protect people and nations, that means somebody has authority over both, people and nations. Nations are not sovereign anymore. Which would let you know, number six, let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court.
Remember, this was done in 1980, before the founding of the World Court. All right? Avoid petty laws and useless officials, meaning we'll only need one guy to rule the world. Balance personal rights and social duties. Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. Now, these are the Ten Commandments. This is what on the, in these languages, in eight languages, it's up here. Okay? Now, people have looked at this, and they know that a secret society did this, probably the Rosicrucians, and more than likely it was Ted Turner and his New World Order buddies, because he says the same thing publicly in interviews about reducing the population. Okay? Now, what's interesting, and I don't have the pictures, and I'm not going to try to pull them up. I'm just going to tell you what happened. All right? In September, in one of these stones on the English side at the top, there was a little place cut out, a cube cut out, all right? And it was empty for some time. And then mysteriously, this stone appeared in there that was fitted perfectly in that spot with a slight bit of overhang, but it was fitted perfectly. And on one side, only two sides of the stone was showing because it fit into the corner, so the other two sides were, and the top and bottom were hidden. But the two sides showing said 2014 on them, okay? Now, here's where it gets weird. It was, they discovered it in there, and then they decided, and some of you may not know this, I just found this out last night, that it was removed and destroyed. In a public ceremony, not hidden, but they went, the officials of Elberton, Georgia, it was knocked out with a chisel and a hammer, and then crushed and destroyed, okay? They're claiming that they didn't put it there. It was an official blah, 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 right? Oh, yeah, and then they handed out pieces of it to bystanders, right? Yeah, gets a little weird. Now, there's a message on it because there were other numbers on the back and there were some things, and I won't get into all that this morning. But what I want to tell you is that it was destroyed, right, the day was taken out and destroyed on September 25th. September 26th is when the first Ebola patient in America goes to the hospital. For the second time, yes. Something like that. I'll have to look back. But I'm telling you, it's like the 25th and the 26th is when he'd gone to the hospital, whatever, and got sent home, and then he went back. All right. What I'm getting at is, what's odd is, I haven't posted anything about the Georgia Guidestones on my Facebook page, on my websites. I haven't even spoken about them on the radio. Nothing. I haven't even made it an issue ever. Right? I think I mentioned them one time, you know, in 2010 in a passing. Right? But what I have been talking about on my Facebook page, that's been getting thousands and thousands and thousands of looks at, I've been posting a lot of stuff about the Ebola, about it having a U.S. patent on it, about the lackadaisical way that they're handling this, people going in without hazmat suits and all this other stuff. You see how they're trying to handle it in Africa, and we got people walking in the apartment that's contaminated with nothing on. Right? I mean, we found out, and I've got the tweets from the page, that the people, the ambulance workers, weren't even notified for 3 days that the guy had Ebola. So the ambulance was contaminated. They had direct contact, and nobody contacted them to let them know. Even the lady, who's the stepdaughter of the man, found out that he had Ebola from the TV set. Not because any government officials or anybody called and said, hey, we got to quarantine you. We got an Ebola patient. He's been in your apartment. We got to deal with this problem. And then the guy with Ebola vomits all over the ground in front of the apartments, and they're out there with a pressure washer. Let's just turn Ebola virus into a fine mist and spray it everywhere. The stuff survives at room temperature, they say, for days on stuff. All right? And the guy spraying it, the vomit, has nothing on. I'm like, either you people are this stupid and incompetent, or this is just on purpose. You're just being reckless, right? So this is the kind of stuff. And then I posted stuff about they know that it's airborne. They've known it's been airborne for a long time. It's been proven in labs. The UN guy is about to have to come out and admit it's airborne, and they're lying. They're just lying through their teeth constantly. Our, you know, you hear these things, it's only transmissible by bodily fluids. Yeah, okay. If you believe the government, I've got, you know, some beachfront property in Arizona to sell you cheap. You cannot believe this government about anything. I'm sorry. Anymore, it's over with. They do not tell the truth, even when the truth would suit them better. They just can't. Right? So I'm talking about Ebola. It's going to 1,000 people. I'm also talking about Rick Joyner and all of his UN connections, all of his cronies and all his buddies that are connected with the UN and the Roman Catholic Church. And I'm talking about deep, dark connections. So we got a clear wolf that I've fully exposed now. Well, all of a sudden, Facebook, my Facebook, gets blown up by 160 visits from Elberton County, Georgia. Huh? Yeah, Elberton City in Elberton County, I'm sorry. The biggest city in Elberton County is probably not any others or few. I mean, when that's the biggest city in your county, 4,500, 4,200 people, you don't have a big county. Right? Georgia's got a lot of little bitty counties anyway, and that's just the way they do. But what I want to tell you is, obviously, we have struck a nerve. So please remember this. Please up your prayers for each other, for your pastor. Please up your prayers. I had a tremendous sense Friday of danger, changed my schedule accordingly because I was warned by the Holy Spirit of a dangerous situation. So, and it was amazing. Once I obeyed that direction, that heaviness and darkness and warning from God lifted off of me. You need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. Doesn't have to make sense. You may have plans to go somewhere. If you're checked and he says, don't go, don't go. You hear me? So I just want you to know things are getting interesting out there. And we're going to talk a little bit. We may get on this whole Ebola thing and vaccine thing in Tuesday's radio broadcast. We'll see. That ought to really get their blood boiling, right? Because they're using vaccines to infect people. They really are. And it can be proven. That's why I'm done. I hope y'all, I'm done with this government. I don't know about y'all, but I'm done with it. I will do minimal cooperation with it. Minimal. But the line's getting drawn in the sand between the true church, the true Christians, the Antichrist, federal government, globalist world government that's coming. So you just better be ready to stand up. But that's the reason, before I shared any of that, I wanted you to know I'm not gloom and doom about this. The threats are real. The danger is real. The darkness is real. The devil is real. But so is Jesus. Amen. And the Holy Spirit who lives in us, and the power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And listen, if the truth in the context of the Holy Scriptures didn't scare the daylights out of them, do you think they'd be bothering with a little church in Auburn, Alabama, Opelika, Alabama? Nah. Truth. Truth in the context of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ scares these people to death because they know they will never have full power over it. It terrifies them. And a man or a woman that cannot be bought by their money or intimidated by their fear and their threats, who won't be silenced, is the most dangerous individual on the face of the earth to their whole plan. But make no mistake about it, Ebola was manufactured in a laboratory. It has been released as a bioterrorism weapon by some evil people
And their goal is this. And they have not hidden their goal for decades now. This has been their goal. They put it in stone for you.
Right? Do you think maybe they
Yeah. Which is terrible. It's pretty well documented that our government has worked on it as a bioterror weapon, that we partnered with a Canadian pharmaceutical company to test it in to test its operation in Africa. And it's pretty disgusting. Listen, let me finish with this. A lot of people who get on this stuff and start finding out some of the things that the United States government has done has been very dark and very evil. That's not the American people. For the most part, the American people would never agree to anything like that, would never go along with that. You have to understand that our government has been hijacked by dark, satanic forces, and we're in trouble because of that. But the American people, and they know, listen, these people who are this evil and want to kill and destroy and set up their stuff, these people know that their greatest opposition to that are true Christians. They know it. Listen, matter of fact, on the tablet, there's another tablet there. It's called the explanatory tablet that explains why it's there and who it's there. You know what it says? It says on there, let there be an age, that this is, let this be guidestones to an age of reason. Now, if you know anything about history, and you go to one of our early leaders, Thomas Paine, who wrote Common Sense and wrote The Age of Reason, Thomas Paine was really, I believe, an Illuminati, Luciferian deist. His god was Lucifer. But he wrote a book that became very popular, that book, The Age of Reason, and it was nothing but an attack on the God of the Bible and the Bible itself. And this is what they're saying. They're making it very clear to you. We don't want anything. We want you to believe in God. We want you to believe in an infinite being or a creator. They're fine with that because their creator, that they believe, it's Lucifer, Satan, is who they worship as God. They're fine with you having a God, but not the Bible, not the Christian Jewish God, not him. So what they're talking about is we want to wipe out that Christianity and that Bible, and this is our new Ten Commandments. It's as in your face as it gets, folks. And they told you by putting that block up there that 2014 is a significant year for them in bringing this about. Just like what God told me at the beginning of the year, this year would be unprecedented events that are going to lead us into those final years. But let your light shine. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father. You are our shield and our fortress and our refuge. You are our God in whom we trust. You are greater than all the powers of darkness, than Satan, than Lucifer, the gods they worship, the dragon they worship, the beast they're forming. Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we thank you for power and authority against these forces. We thank you that you're a shield and a deliverer. We thank you that you're a healer. We thank you, Lord, that you can even protect us from deadly things that can be consumed. You said it in Mark 16. Lord, you are our shield and our healer and our deliverer. And Lord, we will boldly stand for you. We will boldly proclaim your word. We will boldly preach the gospel. We just declare that the God of creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Messiah, his Messiah, Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit, the only true God. We will never be ashamed, and we will never back down, and we will never shut up God, we thank you that you will back your word up with power and signs following. You will even bring some of our enemies, like you did Saul of Tarsus, you will even bring some of our enemies to their knees, to repentance and salvation. Even some kings and leaders you're going to bring to their knees into salvation. You will have a witness. You will have a harvest. You will have fruit through your church in this darkest time. I thank you, Lord. I believe it with all my heart. Put it in my brothers and sisters, those here, those listening, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Those of you that have been listening by Blog Talk Radio and are listening to an archive podcast, we glad you were there, out there listening. Let us know, email us, Facebook us, something, and we'd love to hear from you. God bless. All right, we need to do one more little piece of